Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the sermon screen the title of today's message? Who do you say Jesus is? Based on our gospel reading from Matthew 16, listen to this key verse. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." When you came in, you should have received a blue handout with the sermon outline. If you don't have one, raise your hands and someone will bring one to you. Again, our title is, Who Do You Say Jesus Is? Well, some time ago, I was in the hospital and I was under local anesthetic for what was to be an outpatient surgical procedure. As he first was getting started, the surgeon asked me what my profession was, so I shared with him. And as this surgeon was in the middle of his work, he asked me some questions that caught me off guard. It almost made me laugh if it wasn't for the setting and the delicate procedure he was doing. The surgeon asked me, "Well, what is it that you believe? And who do you say that Christ is?" What I wanted to say to him was, "Pay attention to what you're doing." But since he asked, I needed to tell him. So I told him, as he was working on me, who Jesus is. In our sermon text today, the issue is the question Jesus asked the disciples, to which Peter gave a response when Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's confession says it all. But ask people today who you say Jesus is, and you'll hear any number of responses. Some will say, Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a spokesman sent by God. He was someone that we should model our lives after. Now, all of these responses are correct, but they're not the full answer. These responses do not call for a reaction of saving faith. They're simply ideas in one's head that is yet to travel 18 inches to one's heart in saving faith. And by the way, the only important question you're going to have to answer on that day of judgment when you stand before the Almighty throne of God is this, when he asks you, who do you say Jesus is? Now take a look at our baptismal font. What a beautiful piece of work. What a beautiful piece of hand carving we've got here. And this baptismal font, every time we have a baptism, declares that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only Savior who paid the price for our sins and brings us into his family. He is Christ, the Son of the living God. But again, we live in a time in which so many people around us say that they believe in absolutely nothing. And many church bodies, are we listening now? Many church bodies today are throwing away their historic Christian faith. Many church bodies today are throwing away the historic Christian faith and the truth of Scripture for liberal, godless, anti-biblical, and politically correct philosophies, afraid to stand for God's truth. That's why it's so important that here today we keep teaching and learning pure biblical doctrine. But it can't stop there. The former president of our Lutheran church body in the USA once said this about doctrine. He said, "Get it straight and then get it out." That is to say, teach biblical doctrine in its purity and then give it away to others. It's not enough just to get it straight. We are to get it out to a world dying in darkness and unbelief. The one thing our Lutheran church has prided itself over all the years is this, and sometimes we do this. Oh, We teach pure and correct biblical doctrine. But pure and correct biblical doctrine that isn't shared to a dying world is not correct biblical doctrine at all. Correct but unused doctrine is not correct doctrine in the fullest Lutheran sense. Correct doctrine is known by its effects on the hearts and lives of people. And effects only come when this biblical doctrine is proclaimed, when the faith is shared, as the love of Christ is given away both by our words and by our deeds. And we must admit, friends, notice your outline, we must admit that too often we have been silent and inactive. We have not confessed the faith. We, as Peter later did, deny Jesus, run from him, live as if God doesn't even exist and has a claim on our lives, then who is left to confess the faith? Who can the Lord use? The Peters of his church. My friends, you and I are Peter today. Now, Peter was not known as a perfect or sinless confessor of the faith. Peter, you and I are ordinary people whom the Lord calls. We are forgiven sinners in whom the Holy Spirit of God dwells. We are forgiven sinners in whom the Holy Spirit has created faith, just like Peter. You should join me in being so glad to learn about Peter in Holy Scripture. Peter falls down, and Jesus lifts him up. Peter sins, and Jesus forgives him. Peter denies Jesus, and Jesus never forsakes him. In Peter, we see ourselves, flawed but forgiven, sinful yet made sufficient by God and used by him to confess the truth of Jesus to others. And better yet, and look up here now, won't you? Better yet, Almighty God, the Heavenly Father, only sees Peter's and you and me through the lens of the cross of Jesus. That cross upon which our sins were destroyed, our death was overcome, our approval for all eternity was won. Jesus said to Peter in verse 18, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And there's a play of words going on here. The name Peter means rock, or a stone. And even though, as we've already learned, Peter is often less than rock-like in his faith and confession, Jesus tells him, "Peter, I will use your rock-like confession of faith to build the church for all eternity." You see, and please listen to this. This is one of the doctrines that separates Lutheranism and Catholicism. Roman Catholic doctrine is Jesus builds the church on Peter, who then is called the first pope. And today, the thought is God builds his church on the Peter now called the pope. But the scripture tells us that God never builds his church on one person or one leader. Jesus builds the church upon the rock solid confession of the faith. In simplest terms, when Jesus said to Peter, "You're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church," the rock he was talking about was not Peter, but the rock solidness of his confession of Jesus the Christ. What does that mean today? It means that today, when the pure word of God is proclaimed, and when God's people continue to confess the faith, the church grows. People come to saving faith. More are brought to baptism. More are ready for an eternity with God. Now, here's where this sermon quits preaching and starts meddling. I encourage each person here today to put some time into preparing a personal faith statement, to write down and put to memory just a few sentences about who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Why? How many times have you had an opportunity to share the faith but were stumped for the right words? It would be my pleasure to help you prepare this personal statement of faith that you can even build on even more. And if you want that help, just come see me. As the surgeon was finishing his delicate surgery upon me, he had two last questions as I was on the surgical table. The surgeon said, "Well, tell me, what exactly is your faith all about? And by the way, what exactly is your church all about?" The procedure was over. This was his last question. It was a wonderful question. What would you have told him? What is your faith all about? What is your church all about? What our faith and church is all about is talked about in Matthew's gospel lesson for today. What our faith and church are all about can be summarized in four words. Look at your sermon outline. The four words are the forgiveness of sins. Would you say that with me? The forgiveness of sins. Jesus tells Peter in today's text, "I will build my rock, I will build my church on the rock of your confession, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom." The keys to the kingdom is the authority that Jesus gives to his church, even today, to forgive the sins of repentant sinners. Jesus tells Peter, and Jesus tells us, that the message we have for the world, the gift that is ours to give away freely, is the forgiveness of their sins won for them in Jesus' life and death and resurrection for all people. The keys to the kingdom are given to the church today, are given to you and me, because so many people are locked tightly in the prison of their sins. The good news we share about Jesus and his blood-bought forgiveness unlocks the prison door to sin and lets sinners freely come in to the kingdom of heaven. And the wonderful promise that Peter gives, that Jesus gives to Peter and gives to us today is this: no power on earth or under the earth will ever overcome this gospel message being shared. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it." To Peters like us, like you and me, falls the glorious task of confessing the faith, of announcing the forgiveness of sins and the love of God in Jesus' name. And here, by the way, we're at the end of our sermon. Here, as people of Trinity Lutheran Church, we gladly take up this task on a surgery table, with our friends, with our families, at our place of work, in our daily lives, as we confess to the world with Peter, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And all God's people said,